Continuing our study through Proverbs. Proverbs 3. If you want to know how many sermons we're going to have on this, I don't know. Proverbs, sometimes it'll be, there'll be a section that you can preach through, like this one, 12 verses. And then other ones were thought. So I'm relying on the Holy Spirit, but being blessed in the process, and I pray that you are too. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For lengths of days and years of life and peace will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a lamp to our feet. It is a direction for us. It is an assembly guide for us. Thank you, Lord, for the way that we can learn from that and your servant. Your servant needs your blessing, and your people need your blessing as we bring the word to light. Lord, enlighten us. May we hear from these words today exactly what you want us to hear and to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. The other night, the Great Commission team was meeting in Ron and Bonnie's family room, and we were discussing a young man who was killed by the reclusive and little-known inhabitants of North Sentinel Island. The man was trying to take the good news of Jesus Christ to what are described as the last Stone Age tribe, and he lost his life doing it. 2018, that recent. The question was asked, where's Sentinel Island? And we thought it was in the Pacific. And Fabio immediately, and me, immediately picked up our phones and Googled Sentinel Island. We found that the Sentinel Islands are in the Bay of Bengal off the east coast of India, not very close to the Pacific, relatively speaking. We have so much knowledge at our fingertips. You can Google what's going on in your body and scare yourself half to death. Or you can find out where Sentinel Island is, or you can cheat in Sunday school class and find out what flowers start with certain letters, like we did this morning. We have so much knowledge at our fingertips. Our kids know stuff that we never knew at their age. Grady can work a remote with much less difficulty than I can. He's two. Fiona was showing Nana a video the other week. And you can look this up when Google it some other time, okay? Not now. where a man in this video is, he's dressed for some strange reason in a Spider-Man outfit, is filling up a line. He digs a hole on the beach in the sand, and then he lines it with cement, you know, like a mortar, and so that it's waterproof. And then he puts in dozens, I'm not kidding, of cans of pop, of soda pop, okay? And raw eggs, and dish soap, and Mentos, and some other things that I can't remember. And then finally, Spidey dumps in something that caused the mixture to foam out of the hole in a huge and amazing eruption. And as it happened, Fiona, who was narrating it, said, very matter-of-factly, it's some kind of chemical reaction. And I thought to myself, I was twice her age, at least, probably three times her age in high school chemistry class, which I failed miserably before I knew anything concerning a chemical reaction. They start early these days. We have so much knowledge and so little wisdom. What wisdom was there in a Spidey outfit? I didn't understand that. But anyway, that's why it's good to look at some preachable proverbs. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you read a chapter of Proverbs each day, you will complete the book of Proverbs. That was May 1, 2 weeks ago. On May 31st, which is a Tuesday, you will complete the reading of Proverbs. You can read the book of Proverbs every month. And the Proverbs are very readable, and they make you think. They make you just stop and sometimes scratch your head. And as you pray with the Holy Spirit's direction, you learn and learn. Not all of them can easily be made into a sermon. So that's why I said that I'm preaching through a sampling of the Proverbs in an effort to help us soak up some wisdom. And as we do, we know that following the way of wisdom is the only way to go, and the writer of Proverbs reminds us of the advantages. And it's obvious that leaning into wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the way to abundant life. We need to learn to lean. First of all, verses 1 and 2, remember the teaching that you've had. What happens here this morning during this time from the one who's preaching? This week it's me. Next week it's Nicole. Usually it's me. Or in Sunday school, when we have Sunday school class, and we had Sunday school this morning, or simply hearkening back to something you learned in vacation Bible school or in a Sunday school class. When you were a child many years ago, all these things that you've learned serve you in good stead. And the reward for it is long life and abundance. The idea that the writer has in mind is the fullness of the whole idea of the Jewish word shalom. Shalom is so much more than the absence of strife. It is a sense of everything being right with the world because God is God and we are his people. Allergy season. This means that in the midst of craziness, Christ followers can have God's peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I'm sorry. I told Kathy, I hope that I don't go into a coughing fit. Stay with me, but don't be praying that I don't go into a coughing fit, because I want you to hear what I have to say. Salvation makes this possible. Salvation makes this possible, that we can have the peace that passes all understanding. Without Jesus living in your heart, it's impossible to have shalom. In the time of this writer of this Proverbs, probably Solomon, long life was proof that God is on your side. For Christ followers, the ultimate proof is eternal life. Thank you, Gary. Another jewel in your crown. That and teaching me how to golf. Oh, yes. Don't forget this wise teaching here that you find in all of the Bible, not just in these verses. Don't forget this wise teaching and live long and prosper. And all this time, you thought that promise came from a movie about a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But live long and prosper was way before Lucas and way before Star Wars. Next, in the words of Eugene Peterson and in his message paraphrase, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty, verses 3-5. That's how Peterson begins verse 3. My translation, which is the English Standard Version, says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. The people of God must be characterized by loyalty and reliability. We should be known for our mercy and kindness to the helpless. That's what Foster was reading about there from Romans 12. We need to show grace. Plain and simply, we need to show grace and mercy. We've been shown that by God. We need to pass it on. As we show that, we will find favor with both God and with our fellow human beings. Remember, we are Christ followers first and foremost, and because of that, integrity is etched into our very being, and it drives and directs every single relationship and contact. Everyone we meet, every single person we meet, every single person we meet, every single person who walks on this earth is a loved and coveted child of God who needs Jesus. And we may be the only example they see of the love of Jesus. Put God first, and then he will show you how to put others first. Next, live a God-centered life. Verses 5 and 6, our text says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. This is a memory verse many of us recited in Sunday school, and so it's probably very familiar to you. It's also the very heart of this talk, because even though it's familiar, it's seldom truly followed. Peterson says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Learn to lean, church. Learn to lean on God and not on the shaky frame of this world. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Better yet, this. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. In this way, everything about you will reflect God. Not your denomination, not your political party, not your paycheck, or your address, or your name, or your ancestry, other than the fact that everything about you will shout that you are a servant of God. You will be leaning into God and into him alone. Another way of putting it is this: God's not biting his nails, and neither should we. I have a friend who was a pastor that planted an awesome church. And a number of years ago, he left the ministry. And it seemed like he left his faith too. And his scripture verse, his life verse was, "In all your ways, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." And as I analyze him, he started to lean on his own understanding. And he stopped acknowledging God. And it breaks my heart to see that. Let's move on. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. That's the translation from the New Living Translation. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Peterson says, don't assume that you know it all. Or as one commentator put it, do not take yourself too seriously. And then he goes on to say, I like this too, by the way, that's why I'm quoting it. And I quote, "A sense of humor is still in season. We are always calling for it, usually in others. It is most badly needed among the good people and the pillars of society, like the people who produced Proverbs. But what makes a sense of humor possible? It is not to be confused with irresponsibility and flippancy," and this is what I have to remember on a regular basis. "How can one be serious and relaxed at the same time? Responsible without worrying?" The sage replies, "Just remember, God is taking care of things." That seems to be a salient meaning for the fear of the Lord here. Verse 8 is interesting, and it's also helpful and true. Listen to it again. "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." The Message says, run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. What's it saying here? Well, it's clear. Leaning on God and not on your own understanding means that we'll be healthier for it. Run from God and you'll be a physical wreck. And we've seen pictures. We've seen this. Now, don't get me wrong. We live in a world ruined by the fall, and disease and tragedy are often a reality. And that's why we have Katie's report and Nicole's report and my sister-in-law Lynn's report. The fall brought disease. But the healthy option is running to God and away from evil. And here it is again. You can't, I said it already today, you cannot outgive God. Verses 9 and 10. "I'm sorry if you get tired of hearing me say that, but I'm not going to apologize because it's true. The concern I have from these verses is the way that they've been misconstrued or maybe out and out misinterpreted to imply that as we give, we will gain prosperity and wealth. That's misusing scripture. That's being selfish. That's being sinful. The problem with this thinking is that it motivates giving from a selfish spirit. The truth is, as we worship by our giving, God takes care of what we need." That's what that means, that you cannot outgive God. God takes care of what we need. Giving is from gratitude and not from greed. Giving is an act of love and obedience and worship. It's not a way of getting. I love the generosity of ABC. Over the past 10 years alone, especially, we've seen how ABCers have given to a renovation plan and then paid it off in less than 3 years. And it wasn't a cheap thing. We didn't use plywood. Well, no, that wasn't even plywood. We used oak. We put in new lights. It wasn't cheap. We didn't go to Ollie's and hope that something was on sale. We got really good stuff and you had high quality labor. We paid it off in 3 years, and I'm not bragging, okay? People were obedient. Then we experienced a pandemic where many fellowships struggled. Some of them even had to borrow money to get by. And we flourished. The truth is, you probably aren't tired of hearing that Christ followers cannot outgive God, because you have experienced it in your own lives and you've seen it happen in our congregation. Nevertheless, may it continue to be true of us that we honor God with everything we own. This, I got the report from Pat that you see in your bulletin of our giving. And I said, is there something up? Are we seeing some kind of trend happening? Why it seems, if you look at your bulletin there, let me look at that, that it looks, my math is terrible, but it looks like we're like $6,000 behind, okay? And I always know that there's some reason. And one reason is that every January, our taxes, our insurance bill comes due, which is $5,000-some, right, Dale? Yeah. And then our taxes come due because, you know, there's nothing as sure in life as, yeah. Okay. Our taxes come due, and some people pay it in halves. Pat pays all of it, all up front, January, February, insurance, taxes, right there. A lot of money, it goes right out, even though it's in our budget spread out through the whole year. And then, so I said, you know, is it just that, or is there some kind of trend? And she replied, we got a swing set out here and spent $5,200 for that. We got some other expenses, a water fountain and things like that. And also, she said, we were a little down through April when taxes are due. So anyway, I felt better, okay, that I wanted to know before, because I didn't want this to be a lie here, you know, what I just said. But I thank you for being a faithful congregation. There, that's my giving sermon for this year. Finally, anyway, honor God with everything we own. Everything. Finally, God disciplines those he loves. Verses 11 and 12. Don't despise it and don't resent it. It's evidence that he's not given up on you. One commentator says, God disciplines the wise for their own good. And I keep saying commentator, because as you see at the end of it, it's that guy that I can't pronounce his last name, okay? So one commentator says, God disciplines the wise for their own good. The reward of the patient and grateful acceptance of reproof is a deepening awareness of one's filial relation, family relationship to God, finding God again as the center of one's life. Last week, I mentioned that my mother never said, wait until your father gets home, because she handled discipline quite effectively without any reinforcements from our dad. In a discussion with someone the next day, I shared that my dad was also an effective disciplinarian. But in contrast with my mother, who often disciplined out of pain, frustration, having me as a son, often outright anger and sometimes rage. In contrast to that, when we were punished by our dad, we knew we had it coming. Likewise with God, when discipline is coming from him, we know we have it coming. It's just, and it's truly for our own good. I think Peterson sums it up perfectly. He paraphrases it this way. He says, "But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this." Lean in to the wisdom of God. I had in mind that song, Learning to Lean. Learning to lean. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Don't forget, or worse, ignore the whole teaching of the Word, all of the Bible. Be reliable and faithful people. Always put God first and trust in him with all your heart. Acknowledge him and allow him to keep you on track. Honor God with everything you own and welcome his correction. You are his loved and coveted children, and he delights in you. Always be learning to lean on him. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power that is from you. It is not for us.